passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Second Hour is live on a Thursday. We've already talked to Molly McGrath about visiting the scrimmage last week in Tuscaloosa and the NFL draft. Brad Crawford joins us now. He is with 24/7. He has a new story out. How about this? Top coaches in the country without a national championship. Who needs it? Brian Kelly finishes number one. Norvell, Ryan Day, DeBoer, Sark. Lane's on there, Lanning. Good list. And Brad, thank you. Always good to check in. This is an interesting concept. I'm sure these coaches appreciate you reminding everyone. Brian Kelly's played for a national championship, been in the playoffs a couple of times. Pretty obvious. Probably wasn't all that difficult to put him number one, was it?
Now, for me, it was, man. I really struggled with this top three. Obviously, it's a subjective ranking, and I really wanted to put maybe Ryan Day there because of this all-star roster he's assembled ahead of the 2024 season. But this is a ranking that, you know, top coaches without a national title, and not necessarily the ones that I think are in order of best shot to win this season. Ohio State's roster is better, obviously, than what LSU has, but Brian Kelly is a coach that has made the title game once at Notre Dame, made the playoffs several times, and I think in Baton Rouge, Paul, he's going to get there as well.
No doubt. He is in a good position. Yeah, I want to ask about Ryan Day because he has played for a title in 20. He had a couple of close calls. He's also gained a reputation for being unable to finish the job, which will be a bigger story if he can't do it with the team he has now. Talk about Ryan Day.
Had a two-touchdown lead 2 years ago against Georgia in Atlanta. You called it, Paul. I mean, that was two wins away from a title there. He got shellacked in 2020 by what I think was the best Alabama team Nick Saban had with Devontae Smith, Heisman winner, Mac Jones, the quarterback, unstoppable offense. And then the last three seasons, he has not beaten Michigan, despite, I think, having a better team two of those last 3 years. Last year, it wasn't the better team. Wolverines 15-0 proved that. Jim Harbaugh's last season, but Ryan Day, there's a reason why he's not number one in this list. He hasn't proven yet, at least in my opinion, that he can win that huge game with the pressure on him. But I will say 12-team playoff expansion, it's going to benefit elite coaches like Ryan Day.
Yeah, it's funny to see James Franklin on a list like this because you actually have to be playing for a national championship to be considered, don't you? And he's automatic. I mean, he's the most automatic 2-3 loss coach I've ever seen.
He's got four or five 11-win seasons in Happy Valley, but the problem is during those 11-win seasons, none of them have wins over Michigan and Ohio State in the same year. It's always a schedule issue for James Franklin. He can beat the teams that he's better than. You know, he rarely loses a game that he shouldn't, unlike some elite coaches. But when it comes to Michigan and Ohio State, those are the two games while you're the head coach at Penn State that you're defined by every season. James Franklin, just over the last 10 years or so, since coming over from Vanderbilt, has not been able to prove he can beat the Buckeyes and Wolverines on an annual basis.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley's number eight, and he's been in the playoffs a couple of times and usually gets blown out. I'm struggling to even consider him an elite coach anymore. Am I wrong?
I think you're onto something there. I mean, this year is huge for USC. He can't go 7-6 again out west and expect to have longevity there at Southern Cal. You're right, 0-3 in playoff games. You know, he had that really bad stinker where I think Joe Burrow had, what, 7.5 touchdowns? That was insane. So Lincoln Riley has to prove. Last year he had a reigning Heisman winner, didn't get it done. This year has Miller and Moss at quarterback. So, and then going to the Big Ten, the schedule only gets tougher from here for Lincoln Riley. Another guy like Ryan Day who, against elite coaches of his stature, you know, hadn't gotten it done. So he's a coach that he's not on any kind of hot seat talk, but wouldn't surprise me if the NFL maybe came calling for Lincoln Riley here pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm not sure too many SC fans would be unhappy if that happened. DeBoer played for a title last year, really hasn't been around that long. Where are you on Kalen DeBoer?
I've got him as a top five active coach right now. I think it arguably, maybe outside of Steve Sarkisian, Paul, he was probably the best coach Alabama could have hired. Look, everybody is knocking him because he hasn't yet recruited in, you know, SEC fertile territory. He hasn't had to beat out other elite programs for five stars that he's going to have to do at Alabama. But he's assembled a pretty good staff. I know his OC left for the Seahawks. Nick Sheridan now is going to be the guy there calling plays. But I'm a big fan of Kalen DeBoer. I think quarterback play under Jalen Milroe, maybe Ty Simpson at number two this season is going to be really good. And, you know, I don't know if Alabama's going to be a Final Four type good team this season, but I would expect DeBoer to, you know, continue the 10-11 win average, maybe not in year one, but it's going to happen down the road.
Well, Brad, while I have you here, let's talk about the upcoming season because it's, yeah. you already mentioned Ohio State. We know Georgia is loaded. If you had to look at it, I mean, it used to be so easy. Give me your top four. I don't think we can handle your top 12 anymore. But from the SEC, moving Georgia off to the side, we know you're going to put them in there. Who else do you think is most likely to get into the playoffs?
I think the third best team in the SEC and possibly the third best team in the country is Ole Miss. I'm extremely high on the Rebels. This is the best roster that, honestly, Ole Miss has had in program history, certainly under Lane Kiffin. He's been able to, just like Mike Norvell at FSU, truly master the transfer portal, Paul. You know, I know he had a guy named Quinshon Judkins, 2,000-yard rusher, leave for Ohio State, but there's still talent in that running back room. They did sign Logan Diggs, the former Notre Dame guy who played at LSU last year. They got Juice Wells from South Carolina. And then they shored up the defensive front, which is what Lane Kiffin said last season during that loss, you know, in Athens, Ole Miss had to do. So not only are they improved on offense, in my opinion, but defensively, Ole Miss is going to have the best team it's had in a long time. And I think the schedule is favorable enough to get to that 12-team playoff and potentially win a game or two.
You also just recently did a list on the most meaningful games of the year. I mean, I think some are pretty easy. You have one that I really didn't think about, Georgia at Ole Miss. That was a big game last year. You have Georgia at Alabama, which I think will go on pretty much everyone's list. But ultimately, the number one is October 19th, Georgia at Texas. That's a pretty delicious game.
Yeah, remember last year this time, Paul, we were talking about how easy Kirby Smart had it set up for potentially a, you know, third consecutive playoff title because of that schedule. This season, he's going to have to earn it, even if there's eight more teams in the playoff. This is the most difficult schedule that Smart has had to face while at Georgia. Like you said, Texas, he goes to Alabama. It's a very tough schedule for Georgia. You know, they like what they have, obviously, on offense with Carson Beck back. But then it's just, you know, defensively, you replace five or six starters. You've got five stars coming up behind them that are going to be good. Jalen Walker's a guy that he's going to be a breakout player nationally at that hybrid linebacker edge spot. But Georgia's a team that, you know, right now, I would probably have them number one in the country, maybe Ohio State in that top spot. But the schedule, man, you look at it. Open up against Clemson, too. That's a non-conference game that really no one's talking about because they play, you know, Ole Miss, Bama, and Tennessee and Texas. So that opening game, man, there'll be some anger from the Georgia faithful if Dabo Swinney can win that game in Atlanta.
Yeah, there'll be some shock from this chair as well. Brad Crawford, always great to see you from 24/7. We will stay in touch very closely as the spring wears on. We're coming back. More of your phone calls. Tom Mars later on, one of the most prominent sports attorneys in the country. We'll be right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, continuing with your phone calls. Mark in South Carolina is up next. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. I'm glad to finally get in to talk to you. You got a great show.
Thank you.
I want to give you a compliment. Your show, I don't miss it. And I got a question to ask you. I'm a South Carolina Gamecock fan. Do you think that Shane Beamer is going to have a better team this year than last year?
Yeah, I do. I thought last year was disappointing. I don't know what happened. It got off to a bad start, and it really never got any better. But I think he's got a more cohesive team this year. Maybe the schedule won't be quite as suffocating, but I feel moderately good. The problem in the SEC, though, is that there's not a lot of real estate to make up ground on. So, Mark, that would be my best guess. Thank you very much for the call. Tim is in Mississippi. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing well. Thank you very much.
Hey, I called in yesterday, got cut off by a commercial break. We were talking about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and their 13 national championships. And, you know, I get tired of hearing about the SEC and how great they are and all these teams saying, well, we play in the SEC, so we're so awesome. Paul, there's four or five teams in the SEC that have won a national championship. The other eight or nine, they're just more like junior colleges that the top four or five get to play to make their record better so they can get into the playoffs. Let's be real about this. There's none of these teams that could become independent. They don't have the balls to become independent and play a top five schedule every year like Notre Dame does without having a conference championship to fall to get into the playoffs. I just get so tired of it. The Southeastern Conference is nothing more than a four or five team conference, just like the Big Ten with Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State. They just schedule these other weak teams like Arkansas and Texas A&M and Kentucky and Vanderbilt to make their schedule look good. Okay? So let's be real. The Southeastern Conference is a four or five team.
Well, Tim, I'm not going to scream and holler because you are entitled to your opinion, but when you talk the facts do not support what you're saying. I don't know how far back you want to go, but I'll go far back to say this. Notre Dame last won a national championship in 1988. You are aware of that, aren't you?
Against who, Paul? Alabama, go ahead and say it.
Well, no, that is not correct. I believe they beat West Virginia in 1988.
Paul, don't do this to your viewers.
Tim, first of all, they didn't play Alabama in 1988. They played them, and maybe they won in 1980. Okay, so they beat West Virginia in the Sugar Bowl or some bowl the Fiesta Bowl to win the national championship. So I'm going to ask you to give me just a couple of seconds here. I'm doing this from memory, so you'll have to indulge me. And I want you to keep track, okay? So 1988 in the Fiesta Bowl, Notre Dame wins the national championship. Since then, this is all going to be from memory, so I may miss one or two. In 1992, Alabama won a national championship. In 1996, I don't need a peanut gallery. I'm just trying to, okay? Alabama. In 96, Florida. Okay. In 2003, LSU. In 2006, Florida. In 2008, Florida. In 2006, Florida. In 2007, LSU. In 2008, Florida. In 2009, Alabama. In 2010, Auburn. You with me so far? 11 and 12, Alabama. In 15, Alabama. 17, Alabama. 19, LSU, 20, Alabama, and Georgia in 21 and 22. Would you like to respond?
Yes, I would, Paul. Thank you for making that point that you've named off Florida, LSU,
and by the way,
Alabama,
if I could add one more,
Georgia.
You also, depending on, if you want to go back to 2005, Texas won, and they weren't in the SEC at the time. Oklahoma won in 2000. So since Notre Dame has won, can somebody add up how many SEC schools, including Oklahoma and Texas?
See, that's my point.
No, you're not making any
point. You have had five SEC teams to win a national championship. The other nine junior colleges in this conference have never won one, let alone probably an SEC championship. So therefore, they had to invite.
Okay, and by the way, I apologize because I forgot. Hold on, slow down. Slow down.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm not going to cut you off. Tennessee also won in '98. My apologies to my alma mater for forgetting them.
Right.
So how many is that, guys? Is that seven? Is that including Oklahoma and Texas? That is seven.
See, we're including Oklahoma and Texas, who have never played an SEC game.
Okay.
Until this year, they are in SEC.
Okay, do me a favor, guys. Eight different teams have won a national championship. I can't listen to. I feel like I'm on a goat ranch here talking to goats. How many? I'm just trying to think. That's eight different teams, and you know, including so just starting with Alabama, and then you know, Florida, Tennessee, LSU, all the way through. It's truly extraordinary that somebody could be that stupid. There's no other way to say it. That stupid. But we said it. Brandon is up next. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Paul, sorry. You just made every point I was calling in for. I heard that moron say something about Notre Dame being so much greater than the SEC. So you took all the words out of my mouth. I'm here in Lexington, and I'm a huge Tennessee fan, born and raised in East Tennessee. And even Kentucky could beat Notre Dame week in and week out anytime they wanted.
You are correct. Hey, thank you very much, Brandon. Really appreciate that. And again, I don't mind having I let the gentleman make his point, and then he simply wouldn't even let me finish on my. I had to go through 30 years of by memory with a goat buying in the background. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Shane is up next. Hey, Shane, go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Well, I like the way you handled Tim, and I'm so glad that I'm on. You know, he just don't get it. But, Paul, I want to nominate you for the greatest of all time, sports writer and sports show host, the greatest show that all the callers and the listeners that we know, period. I think we need a plaque when you're behind you that says Paul Feinbaum, the greatest of all time sports writer and sports show host, because nobody can do what you do, Paul, and I appreciate this show every day. It was great to hear Larry yesterday. I just want to know where Legend is. And Jim, I thought he was doing good, but he's back fired up again. He was being nice Monday and Tuesday. Now he's back to the abrasiveness. But I don't know, Paul.
Well, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's take a short break. We need to calm down after our friend called us a minute ago. Much more to come right after this.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Great to have all of you here, and we'll continue with more phone calls. Colt McCoy also later on. Tom Mars, busy show on tap on this Thursday afternoon. Bob is up next in Fort Worth. Hey, Bob. Bob, you there?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Great to have you on. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Paul. First of all, this knucklehead that called a while ago about Notre Dame, how A&M is supposed to make their schedule look better and stuff. Tell you what, I think you're going to see a whole different A&M team this year.
I hope so.
And I don't know that just by listening and watching, but that's not what I've called about. This Nick Saban deal. I've been listening for a couple of weeks, and Paul, every time, I don't know why, every time I've seen it in my lifetime, when a father retires and leaves a son in charge, or it may stay involved, you always have the hired hands or the lowers. Every time the father's around, and the son gives an order, the guys look over their shoulders and see if to the old man and see if he's doing the right thing. And I'm not saying Saban wasn't the greatest coach ever lived. I don't know one way or another between him and Bryant, but it just seems like a little counterproductive for him to hang around practices and they say, well, he's not going to be at the games. Well, no, but he's going to be there during the practices. And
Bob, let me just correct one thing. I don't have any evidence that he has been to practices. The only time I'm aware that he has been there was at the actual scrimmage on Saturday, which was a public event.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just saying, if he didn't want to retire, he shouldn't have walked off, and now he's got an office there in the stadium. And I mean, if they was going to keep him on in the head office, they should have said that. They said we're going to move him up.
But I don't know if you heard Molly. I mean, she seemed to think that he just wanted to be there to lend support. I know exactly what you're saying, and we both know of instances where coaches would not leave. I've seen it happen countless times. I mean, they pushed the older guy out, and he's still there the next day. That is not the case with Saban. He really doesn't spend that much time in Tuscaloosa. I think he just showed up Saturday because that was still his team, and they were some of his seniors were being honored. But having an office in the stadium, just from a geography standpoint, that's a considerable distance from where the football operation is. So I don't think anybody is seeing him. And knowing Nick Saban for the last 20 years, I would be shocked to see him hanging around the office or practice. That's just not his style.
Well, and I hope you're right. But I, like I said, I went through it with between my granddad and my dad, and I had a cousin who went through it with his dad, and I don't know, everybody about, well, Saban's doing this and Saban's doing that, and it just seems to me like the board be looking over his shoulder all the time, going, well, am I doing the right thing? Do I need to call coach and see if I'm doing the right thing? It just, I don't know, it just kind of feels a little weird to me.
Well, I understand that. I understand you saying that. And I think we've all been there before. I think it's really quite common for people not to really have an easy time leaving. But this is just an opinion. Bob, I appreciate your call. I just don't think that's Nick Saban. I really don't. I don't think you'll see him again. Coach DeBoer apparently asked him to speak to the team. Kalen DeBoer is in a really unique position. You know, he's following a guy that cemented as the GOAT of all time. I will be very surprised if Nick Saban has very much to do with the program, other than in a ceremonial way. Jim is up next.
Let me ask you something, Paul. This is making me hotter than hell. Whose damn business is it of yours? What business were you in, Bob, you old freaking geezer? What business were you in before you tried to get in Alabama's business? That's the only comment for you. This ain't no father-son deal. Greatest coach of all time. Everybody loves him being around. He's nothing but an asset. He's the best it's ever been, and that's the way it is. You're out of your damn mind, man. You're off limits. You're out of bounds. Paul, you've got to stop coddling these fools like this Bob guy. He hates Alabama. Well, was he another Texan? Another damn Texan?
Yeah,
that can't stand Alabama?
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what I thought. Look, this is getting sickening, Paul. It's none of his business what Alabama does.
Well, Jim, I think in normal situation, I can understand the concern. I saw this at Auburn.
Concern for who?
Well, but, I mean, there are cases where the coach never leaves, but this is case.
That would be wonderful. As long as the board welcomes it, and he does, that would be wonderful. Who doesn't want the advice of the best of all time, Paul? This is crazy. Crazy, man.
Well, I also think what Molly McGrath said earlier, DeBoer is unflinch. I mean, he doesn't care. Even if Saban was there, I don't think it would really bother him. But Saban is not there. Saban does not want to be there. If he wanted to be there, he would still be the head coach.
You think people don't like what he's been, that he's been there? You think the board wouldn't like it? You're stepping on a good call, Paul.
I'm sorry.
You're stepping on a good call. I'm making my point. Do you not think the board would love it?
No, I don't. I disagree with you.
Let me make my point, Paul. If Saban said something to him that was an asset, that helped him, you think, I'm sorry you did that, even though it's going to help us.
But Jim, you know what I'm about to say. If Saban has something to say to DeBoer, he wouldn't say it in front of anybody. That's not how it works.
I didn't say he would. I'm saying they love it if he's there because he's got nothing but glorify.
I agree with you on that. You're right about that.
Well, that's the bottom line, Paul. And this damn old geezers. Now, you're talking about jealousy and hate. That's the epitome of old Bob, the old freaking minding everybody else's business but his own damn business. That's the problem, Paul. That's what's wrong with this damn country now. That's what's wrong with Washington. That's exactly what's wrong. Okay. These people have gone crazy. They're out of line, and somebody needs to call them down. I will do that. I hope you'll do it at some point.
Excellent. Thank you, Jim. AC is up next.
Okay, Mr. Feinbaum, how you doing, man? Thank you
doing
so much
great.
For taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I mean, you can step over my call. It's okay. I let you. I try to be respectful. But let me ask you a question. How long AJ has been calling your station?
Year or two. I don't know.
Guy in Pell City.
Yeah, about a year, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Okay, so, okay, let's say a year, right? This is what I came across. As soon as he gets on phone feud with Jim, this guy always loses. I mean, come on. You can do a little bit better than that, right? Because when you poke a bear, you got to learn how to handle the bear. Am I correct?
Well, I don't know if you're correct or not, but you made your point. Anyway, we're up against the break. We still have Colt McCoy. Tom Mars will join us next hour. We're back right after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Marty McGee will open your weekend bright and early, 7 a.m. Saturday morning. Okay, we figured this out. The guys in the back, 19 national championships, 8 schools since 92. That includes Oklahoma and Texas, and if you want to take them out, it's still 6 more than Notre Dame has done in that same period. So, I appreciate the Notre Dame caller. I hope that maybe before he calls again, maybe you can go to the public library and maybe research the project a little bit better than he did today. Rick is up next. Hey, Rick.
Paul, exactly why I called the second time. That old boy, Tim from Mississippi, he's got a disease, and we call it down here, ate up with the dumbass. Have you seen Notre Dame's schedule for this year?
Yes.
Paul, you can't tell me that there's not a school in the SEC that won't have a tougher schedule than this Notre Dame schedule this year. It's pathetic. I mean, that guy, he said no SEC school has the balls to go independent. Well, hell, Notre Dame's an independent because they don't have the balls to be in a conference.
No, I mean, I didn't really even want to get into that. I was trying so hard to remember 30 years of national championships, but Notre Dame. Only Notre Dame, has this quasi deal with the ACC where they joined the league only when they had no other choice, and then they leave the SEC to the ACC to go back to independence. I mean, it's pretty stupid, but that's okay.
That guy's idiocy is
the only thing that has made Notre Dame relevant on this show in a very long time.
I hope A&M beats the crap out of them this year.
I agree with you on that. Is that the first week one or two? I can't remember. Yeah. Cannot wait. That is going to be a really featured game. Thanks for the call. Let's check in with Donna in Arkansas. Hey, Donna.
Hi, Paul. Long
hey
time no talk to you.
Well, great to have you back.
You remember me?
I sure do. Absolutely.
I bet Arkansas basketball with my husband. You remember that, don't you?
Oh, I remember that, of course.
So he hadn't been able to get me to bet much this past year, but I have a feeling with the upcoming fall season, 24-25 season, we're going to be having a few more bets, and if he'll take me up on them.
Well, whatever you like. I'm all in.
I'm really excited about this new season coming up. The whole season altogether. I don't know why there's so many Kentucky fans upset. They could have kept him.
Well, you know, it's one of those weird situations where Arkansas folks are excited. Kentucky fans will act like Calipari was never there. The last 15 years has simply been expunged from the record.
Well, we'll take him and all the recruits he wants to bring us. I think he's a great coach. I've rooted against him so many times and cried over it because he beat us. So I'm ready for him on our side. I'm ready for him to call the Hogs, call the recruits, all of them he wants to. What kind of a success do you think we'll have getting his former decommits over here?
Well, Don, I think he's going to have I think he's going to get out of the gate very quickly because he's such an amazing recruiter, and I haven't followed it very closely this week like you folks are, but I think his first team will be really good, and then it's just a matter of what happens. But I think he's got everything going for him, including the right people supporting him. Thank you very much. Vance in Georgia.
Well, I thought I handled this guy yesterday in a very kind way. I guess that didn't work. And I think there's one reason for that is because we live in a world right now where truth and facts don't matter anymore. Nobody cares about them. But let's talk about what created the BCS. 1988, Notre Dame had a chance to play Miami in a replay, 1-2 for the national title. Well, then Lou Holtz said, we already beat the Hurricanes once, so we're going to give somebody else a chance. Bull crap. He can watch film and know that they were going to beat West Virginia handily. 1966, Notre Dame didn't go to bowl games then. Famous cover of Life magazine, 10-10 tie with Michigan State. Michigan State lost a Rose Bowl to UCLA. Alabama went undefeated, and they gave the national championship to Notre Dame. So my only point is, I understand someone having passion for their team. That's great. I'm all for it. But it's not my fault that the Southeastern Conference is so damn good. It's not your fault that University of Tennessee. And this, all these kind of things is what created the BCS. And so I don't think this guy's going to ever get it. Do you?
No. And you and I both know. At some point, you just have to – I mean, I tried to engage with him on an intellectual level, and that was stupid of me. He's just not capable of having that conversation. Thank you very, very much. Ethan is in Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello, Ethan.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you very much.
I was wanting to ask you a question, Kentucky basketball related, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So we just now saw on the news that Reed Shepard has officially declared for the NBA draft. And I was just wanting to know, how big of an impact do you think that will be for Kentucky next season? And also with the coach, Mark Pope. He seems like a really nice.
Yeah, I think. I think that's understandable, knowing how great he is. I think it may be a little bit of a slow transition for Pope because very rarely do you start out in this position. I mean, this, you know, Calipari's recruited at the same level as Arkansas. Pope has been recruiting a different area of the world, very different. So I think there'll be a quick, a little bit of a curve, but I think he'll make up for it. And I think fans are enthusiastic and behind him. And I think they'll show patience for him that they didn't show and they shouldn't have shown for Calipari.
Do you think he'll be able to live up to the expectation that Calipari had in the?
Well, listen, I think he can easily improve on what Calipari's done the last 5 years, and that's really what we're talking about. What Calipari did the first 10 years at Kentucky is pretty unprecedented. But that's all gone now. And what we saw recently, I mean, I think he would be good. I just think it's going to take a little bit of time, not a lot, but a little. Colt McCoy will join us in a second. Legendary Texas quarterback. We'll talk to him next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.